So we're going to, by way of review, in part one, we talked about the truth being our compass. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." The word of God is the truth of God. And what'll the truth do for you? It'll make you free. Renew your mind here. Don't say set us free. Say it makes me. The word makes you something. It just doesn't set you up. No, it makes you free. Amen. Thy word is truth. And if you use the word of God, the truth, and if you're led by the word of God, led by truth. Is there a ring in there? Then it works like a compass. I mean, a compass is a beautiful thing that the Lord literally put in our hands and say, here's a compass. If you're lost in the middle of Long Island Sound or out on Lake Michigan or somewhere else, I relate to Long Island because we were lost in a fog there one time. My father got the compass out, and finally, because we went in a big circle, we finally got back to Oyster Bay using the compass. If you know where north is, you know where everything else is, and you can get there. Amen? Well, if you know the word of God and you are honest about your situation, guess where the needle's going to be pointing? Amen? The truth will make you free. And if you are a doer of the word will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, and you will get where you need to be, when you need to be there, on time. Amen? Amen. Those aren't just words. When Jesus speaks, when the prophets spoke, when Jesus spoke, when the Apostle Paul, when that became canon, that became spiritual law. This is not theory or philosophy. It is spiritual law. When you are a doer of the word will become that lamp to your feet, that light unto your path, and you'll get to where you need to be. Amen. You need to stay in the word, walk in the word, keep speaking the word, and you'll stay on course in troubled times. Then we talked about part two was the path of least resistance. Question mark. The path of least resistance. Religion will teach you that if God told you to do something, that it'll be smooth sailing and he'll make a way for you and you'll never have any problems. No, that's man's religion that teaches you that. The Apostle Paul teaches you, if there was ever a man who loved Jesus, who walked, whose heart was thirsty and hungry, did he encounter resistance, persecution, hardships, shipwreck? The walk of faith is very seldom the path of least resistance. Why is that? Because faith has an enemy. Right. We are in a fallen world. Therefore, the will of God is not an automatic thing like it is in heaven. That's why Jesus said, pray that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Well, why would we have to pray that if everything that happened was the will of God? Come on. Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. You've got to realize something, that when you were born again, you were born into a war. Yeah. And we have been given armor, and we have been given the person of God to live in us. We can be, since you were recreated and born again, that qualifies you to be filled with the Spirit. The same Spirit that filled Jesus. It's the same Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. And he still acts the same way and operates the same way through his people. Amen. So, yeah, the path of least resistance. It's not the path of least resistance. It is something that we have to do. We resist the devil. Amen. We will be met with opposition. We will be met with persecution. You might as well just chalk that up. It's going to happen. You ever notice, out of all the things that God's delivered from, he never delivered us from persecution?
Right.
Mm. But thank God, he says, 2 Corinthians 2:14. He says, but God be thanked. What did he say? God be thanked, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. You get in these situations, you meet some resistance, some persecution, some hardship and everything. And if you get out of, if you get in yourself and respond to it according to your own feelings and emotions and how you feel about the situation, you start getting mad and everything. That's not in Christ. And you're going to fall on your nose. But it's okay. God will pick you up. He'll pick you up if you fall. Amen? Because you're His. You are His. But we talked about religious mindsets, and we talked about the religion, man's religion. You know what man's religion is? It's man's perception of God apart from the Word. The Word defines our enemy. Without that, you don't know who the enemy is. You think God is doing all this. You think God is making you sick to teach you something. You know, if this steps on your toes, just leave them out there. God will heal them. Don't receive condemnation, receive correction. Amen. In Him, there is no condemnation in Christ. Amen. Amen. So if you're going through a hard time, don't, if you feel, if you're broke, if you have all these needs and all these things, under the, don't look at yourself and say, God, and feel so condemned. No. He loves you enough to correct you and tell you the truth and help you to get where you need to be.
Amen.
Amen. God loves you. And He loves me. Why, I don't know, but He just does. It's the way He is. Amen. We talked about, you know, and one of the big teachings, and it's one of the most damaging teachings, I think, in the body of Christ, is the sovereignty of God teaching.
Yeah.
You know, sovereignty literally means this: highest in rank, authority, and power. That's all it means. Period. End. But the church has added to that to say, well, then everything that happens is God's will, or He allowed this to happen. According to Matthew chapter 18, it says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And since we have been given back the authority, we never lost dominion in the earth.
Right.
You got to understand that. Man was given dominion. That never vanished, even after the fall. The devil, I'm telling you something. As long as you have a physical body, you have more dominion and authority than the devil does. A pig has more dominion and authority than the devil. A snake has more dominion and authority than the devil. Because he needs a physical entity in order to get into this physical world. He needs your cooperation to do anything. Without your cooperation, he can do nothing. Religion doesn't like that because it says, well, then you mean I need to take responsibility? I can't blame God for this? Come on. You know, and the path of least resistance, here's another thing that they tell you. Is like, if God called you to do something, He'll make a way. He'll provide for it. You'll have everything you need. Da, 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 da. And then if you experience hardship, they'll say, well, you got out of the will of God. Now, both of those can't be right. Because if everything that happens is God's will, and everything will be smooth, you know, then if everything happens because it's God's will, and then if you get out of God's will, and you, if one is right, the other can't be right. I mean, let that thought, you got to look at these things and say, you know what, that's man's religion. That's deception. That's man's perception of things apart from the Word of God. Then we talked about sticking. Jesus came to liberate us. He didn't come to complicate our lives. He came to simplify them. Amen.
Amen.
Truth is simple if you don't complicate it. Part three was stick to the vision. We talked about some of the distractions the devil sends our way, and we looked at superficial type of Christians that look at the surface things and offenses and bitterness and things that happen in their life and their reaction to them, and you encounter some fallow ground, or the hardened heart. And it says in Jeremiah chapter 4 and Hosea chapter 10, break up that fallow ground, that hard dirt. Because you know what? It says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 23, much food is in that fallow ground. Much food is there. Even though it may be hard and caked up and dry and hard as cement, God sees it. He says, much food is there. So what do you do? Break up that fallow ground. Start praising God. And Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And it starts to soften the soil. Starts to soften it, and all of a sudden the seeds start receiving strength from the water of the Word, the water of praise, the water of the Holy Spirit, and boom, poof, just like it never was a drought, just like it never was dry, boom, there it is. Whoop, there it is. It's been a long time since we've heard that.
Yes.
From that bunch. A few guys left and boom, they went whoop. Stick to the vision. Stick to the vision. Stick to the vision. Whatever you're going through, just stick to the plan. Stick to, you know, this is what businesses do. They make a vision and mission statement. And if things start going off, they go back to their vision and say, okay, this is where we got off. Let's make a correction and go on from here. You can do the same thing. You've got the legal right in the covenant to do that. Amen. You know, repentance is built into our covenant, and it is the way out. It is a real gift, and you can pray for it. Stay on course in troubled times. You know, if we're going to do that and really have a full supply and really have good direction in life, we need to walk in the Word. We need to stand in the Word. We need to speak the Word, meditate on it, confess the Word of God into our lives, into our situations. And you know what? It will be your compass. It'll start to regulate things in your life. You'll see things come together, but you'll also meet some opposition. And it may seem like things are just going the opposite way of what you're believing. Don't be afraid of that. Just keep on, stay on course. You know, Jesus, when he said, let's go to the other side, he encountered a problem, didn't he? He said, let's go to the other side, and a storm came. He was in, and the disciples were in the perfect will of God because Jesus set the course. And they were all in that boat. You never notice that God doesn't jump ship just because you hit a storm? He's in there with you. Okay. If we walk in truth, we will have a divine compass that will bring us to where we need to be, when we need to be there, and it will lead us to the green pastures and the still waters and that table that is all set up for you in the presence of your enemy. Think about that. He has a table all prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. You can gloat. It's okay. You can do it. Because if your boast is in God, you know, the devil doesn't want to be around that party. He just doesn't want to even be there. Say, watch this, devil. Do you know, Smith Wigglesworth once, he used to go and preach different places. And one night he was staying in a house. And out in the barn, there was all kinds of stuff happening. Do you know who Smith Wigglesworth was? Okay. He was an amazing evangelist. So he went out in the barn to see what was causing this racket, and he had a lantern with him. This is back in early 1900s. And he went back, and he saw in a chair, there was Satan himself sitting in this chair right there. You know what he did? He goes, oh, it's only you. Blew it out and went back to bed. You see, the church has made so much, they've really given the devil way too much credit. Yes. He has been defeated. In fact, the Bible says that he has been paralyzed. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this, for as much then as the children, that's us, are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that's the devil, and to deliver all those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He said he took part of flesh and that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That word destroy, Rotherham's translation translates that as paralyze, make void, paralyze. He's paralyzed. He's in a wheelchair. He is basically on life support. He is defanged. He is declawed. The only power that he has left after Jesus got through with him is deception. Even when Jesus came to him in the wilderness, he was tempted, but he came out with what? The Word of God. He spoke the Word of God. Even that, the devil didn't even want to be around him, and he never confronted Jesus again face to face. He always operated through people, situations, crowd, mob rules, things like that, to incite things. He never wanted to ever get in Jesus' presence again. And then when Jesus was raised from the dead, the power that was released from the Father destroyed all the works of the devil. All of his organized systems and everything that he had worked for 4,000 years to construct, to keep man in darkness, deception, blindness, disease-filled and everything. Gone. Gone. And in fact, we got a picture of that earlier, just a few hours earlier than that, or a few days earlier, when Jesus was in the garden, they came to arrest him. And they said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus. He said, I am he. And they all fell down and went backwards. In fact, that blast was so powerful that one of the Garden of Gethsemane is a cemetery, by the way. A guy was raised from the dead. A guy named John Mark was raised from the dead there. Anyhow, it doesn't say John Mark. I believe it was. If you put it all together. A guy was, and he came out in linen clothes, and he's like, wow, wow. Could you imagine him going back and knocking on his door at home? Say, hey, Mom, Dad.
I'm here. I'm hungry.
Probably as surprised as the disciples were when all of a sudden he appeared to them in the upper room. Okay, we got to get into our part four here. Destroying the works of the devil. Amen. Oh, he tries to get up. He tries to tell you this. Hollywood paints him as this big monster who's all powerful. Hey, Isaiah says, when we see him, we will narrowly look on him, it says. In other words, we'll be like, what? Is this the man that deceived the nations? I mean, he has been exposed and dethroned and everything. Don't give him the credit that he's due. The first thing Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Cast out demons. That's the first thing he said to do. Cast them out. Then he said, speak with new tongues. Anyhow, destroy. How many of you ever heard of Lillian B. Yeoman? Dr. Lillian Yeoman. John has. I used to carry some of her books. Brother Hagin used to carry her books. She was a medical doctor, but she also had keen insights into divine healing. She had a real revelation of Jesus, the healer. And she wrote a book. This is an encounter she had with a woman who was a missionary to China who came back, and she was interviewing her at the home. Whose home was that? Of Carrie Judd Montgomery's Beulah House in Oakland, California. And she told Lillian this wonderful testimony that she had of healing that she had experienced when she was in China. It says that there was a smallpox outbreak and that she contracted while she was on the mission field through the application of the Praise Cure. She got healed. She fearlessly nursed to a sister missionary who had the smallpox disease. Though she had not been vaccinated, she was still tending to this girl and standing on the promise that no plague would come near her dwelling. Then a very bad case of confluent smallpox, this is an intense strain of smallpox, came upon her, and she didn't know what to do. How many of you have been there? That you're believing one thing and the exact opposite happens. Well, hang in there. It ain't over. You know what? It's not over till you quit. Amen. So she asked the Lord. She said, Lord, the Lord told her to sing and praise him for his faithfulness to his word. Amen. Sing and praise me for my faithfulness to the word. They isolated her in quarantine, and they told her to lay down and be quiet. But she said, if I didn't praise God, the very stones would cry out. She started praising God. So she sang and sang and praised. The doctor said he feared for her life. that the case was so serious that awful complications were a very real threat. The doctor said this case was so serious that even if she did pull through, she would have lifelong deformities and scars, and they insisted she remain quiet. You know, the devil wants to shut you up. She just praised and praised and sang and sang, didn't listen to the doctor. The doctor said she was obviously delirious, but since he had so little help, he couldn't restrain her. So she sang and sang and praised and praised. And she sang and sang louder and louder, and she praised louder and praised louder and praised louder. Then they asked, "Why are you praising so much?" She said, "Because I have so many pox on me, and I'm praising God for his faithfulness for each one of these, each one of separately, each one of these pox. I'm praising him for his faithfulness to his word." One by one, they're all dead. She said, the Lord had shown her a vision of two baskets. One basket contained her praises. Basket contained her praises, and that basket was only half full, the praise basket. The other basket, in which her testing, we would call that her problem or her smallpox, or you could say her small, the other basket, the smallpox basket, was full. The devil just poured right in there. So the Lord said to her, that praise basket must be filled so that it would outbalance the testing or the smallpox basket. So she kept at it. She kept praising God. He told her that she had to fill that praise basket, so outbalance the praise basket. So she kept on singing and shouting. And they were so spirit-filled, her songs and her praises, that it became contagious. And the other Christian nurses couldn't resist joining in. So they were all singing, and the place was ringing with praises to God. They're all praising. And the doctors didn't know what to do. They just got louder and louder and louder and louder and louder, and praises were filling this place. At last, the Lord showed her that the praise basket was now full and overflowing, and then the praise basket began to sink. Whoa, it had weight. Lifting the smallpox basket into the air. And at that moment, as she was seeing this vision, there was an eruption and all of the symptoms vanishing, leaving no trace, insomuch as there was not even a scar on her body or skin. She was healed. With no trace of her ever having smallpox. You know, let's see what's going on here. Originally, she was standing on the promise that no plague would not come nigh her dwelling. That she wouldn't get the smallpox, and then it broke out, and a more serious strain came. And sometimes when you are believing God and the opposite things happen, I'm going to tell you why it happens that way, because it's the devil opposing you. He is opposing prayers that are working on your behalf. He is opposing your words of faith and your praise and all of the worship that's going to God. He's opposing that, and he's trying to get you to quit. So he uses affliction, persecution, lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches, and the cares of this life. Five things to get you to drop the word of God, because he can't take it out of you. He steals it. He steals it when you let go of it. When you give way to these problems that seem to, because, and this is where most people quit too. They say, well, I guess it's just not God's will. And they surrender it to man's religion, man's thoughts, and everything, when all the time the Bible says that we fight the good fight of faith. The only good fight is a fight that you win. And the fight of faith, if you keep it in the arena of faith, this is what Brother Hagin used to teach, if you keep your situation in the arena of faith, you cannot fail. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. There is no time in the Bible that faith ever was defeated. The devil has no defense for faith. None. He has no defense for the Word of God. He has no defense for faith. He has no defense for love. He has no defense for the peace of God. When Jesus was in that storm and stood up and said, peace! He has no defense for it. It'll knock his operation apart and put it into splinters. What was that? Somebody light a firecracker? Do you like that story?
Yes.
So sometimes when you believe in God, these things happen, and you've got to stay on course. Stay the course. Stick to the vision. Stick to the Word of God. Stand on the truth. Don't let it go. The devil is trying to oppose you. That's when most people quit. So she said, Lord, what am I supposed to do about it? He says, praise me for my faithfulness. Never forget the faithfulness of God to his word. Never forget his faithfulness to his word. Praise him for his faithfulness to his word. Get yourself up and at attention. Get yourself, say, Lord, I'm here. What do I do? This is basically what she said. He said, praise me for my faithfulness to your word. When you hear from God, when you hear his voice, when you hear him, guess what comes with hearing the word of God? Faith that cannot be defeated. And if you are standing in faith, you cannot be defeated. If you're standing on the word of God, which is the will of God, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Got to show you this. This will empower you. Chapter 2, verse 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, love never fails. That's why the devil wants to put your cares in this life. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, here's our ticket. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but what? He that does the will of God abides forever. God's will is his word. God's word is his will. You cannot separate a man from his will. An honest man who is integrity, his word and his will are the same, one and the same. He who does the word of God will be standing. When the fire hits everything, he'll be standing. When the smoke clears, he'll be standing. Look, the doctors told that woman she's going to be scarred for life. Is there a doctor who has told you that you've got this for the rest of your life? This is you. This is your life now. This is your cross to bear. This is your yoke. Have you ever felt the devil just tell you this? You're never going to go any farther than this. This is your lot in life. Don't believe it!
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Don't believe it. There should be a shout coming from heaven saying, hallelujah, don't believe that. Amen. Stay on course. Yeah. Stay on course. Stand on my word. Speak it. Stand on it. Believe it. Yeah. Receive it. Start walking in it. Yeah. It will manifest. This is the year of manifestation for us. Yeah. The fire of God will burn all that stuff away, and you are not attached to that forever. It is not yours. What is yours? He who does the will of God will stand forever. I will stand in him. He will stand up in me. I honor him, so he honors me.
Hallelujah.
1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 2. He who honors God, I will honor, the Bible says.
Hallelujah.
Spoke that through a prophet. You guys awake yet? I'm glad I came today. How about you? You glad you came today? That broken relationship that you felt is done forever, that can never be reconciled. No. Father, I have the ministry of reconciliation operating in me, and right now I send angels to straighten this thing out. I don't want to walk an offense with that person. I don't want them to. I want peace. I call forth peace in this relationship. Whether it's a husband and wife, kids, parent, work, I'm getting worked up here. Here's what Lillian Yeoman said. She called this the praise cure. And so she says, here's what happened. She said, the praise cure works every time. It is not unpleasant. It is delightful. And as a matter of fact, she said, it is very inexpensive. She said, actually, the cost was met by Jesus on the whipping post. It was met by Jesus on the cross when he sealed your redemption, poured his blood out on the mercy seat, sealing forever redemption for all who believe. We can come to the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of alienation. It's not the throne of anything. This is the throne of grace, where this is the time you come to him, have him put his arms around you and say, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Let me know your heart. This is the time. It's the throne of grace. You don't deserve it. It doesn't matter. He gives you what you don't deserve. That's grace. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. Praise God. Let's just praise you, Jesus. You know what we just thought is, let's stand up. Let's just start praising God. I want to praise God. I want to fill up a praise basket here. I want burdens to be lifted and removed. Burdens that you've had for years and long times. Mindsets that you think you're attached to alcohol, whatever it is. Tendencies, whatever it is. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the delivering power of your Spirit. Thank you, Father, for the new creation and everything that you have made me to be. All your word says about cannot be undone. I thank you, Father. Lord, that you are light and you are strength. Then your peace is in me. Your love is in me. Your joy is in me. And I, 1 Peter says, yet we believe with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, guys, you're anemic. You got to get rid of that anemia and get in and start praising God with your voice. That's we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We speak the praises of God. We lift the praises of God. The voice of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We declare our freedom now. This is the reality. This is the truth. This is the truth that we're standing on. And when the smoke clears, we will still be standing because the word of God is true. Praise you, Father, for your faithfulness to your word, to your faithfulness to watch over your word and perform it. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus! Jesus! Jesus, he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Whoa, hallelujah. You know, he's your best friend. He's your best friend. He's your buddy, your pal. He's your father. He's your brother, closer than any brother you ever had. His spirit knows everything about you, and he still loves you anyway. Praise God. Praise God. So you know what? You can be seated. We're not over. I'm just giving you a break. We're not done yet. But you know, you could be out somewhere, and all of a sudden, say a symptom comes. Oh, praise you, Jesus. And the people at Walmart say, what are you doing? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to startle anybody. I'm on medication. And this is a particularly good medication. And you know what makes it good? It's voice activated. It's voice activated. And so what I'm doing is I'm receiving my healing. And they'll say, I think you've been drinking. I'm drinking, but not like you think. Remember that? In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, yeah, we're drunk, but not like you think. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It was spoken. It is spiritual law. It was just as powerful 600 years later when the Holy Spirit hit, as it was when Joel first spoke it. Amen. The word of God, you got to understand something. Everything was created by the Word of God. Therefore, everything is subject to the Word of God. It is subject to its creator. Everything that was created by the Word of God, and it is subject to its creator. The Word of God created time itself. Got to understand, these are deep. No, it's not. Time wouldn't be. We're not going to need a watch in heaven. You're not going to need a calendar. Time zips by so fast up there, and it's all eternal, so you're not going to need that. Isn't that cool? I mean, there are things, but what's that?
It's like
vacation. You know what? You can look at it that way. You know, if you're coming to the end of your earthly walk, you say, you know what? I'm going on a permanent vacation, just a change of address. So don't just celebrate what we have and just let it be a good memory. I'm going on. I'll be happy. Don't worry about it. Amen. I'm just moving to heaven. Relocating. You don't have to worry about it. But here's the thing. The Word of God does not fade with time. It created time. It does not get less and less. The words that Jesus spoke, he said, my word's going to stand forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. Oh, you want to live according to that word? He said, he who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? God is a wonderful, amazing guy. He's an amazing person. Don't you love him this morning? Oh, you can praise him. You can praise him and lift that. You know, the word glory, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Let's go there, John. Let's say you're experiencing symptoms in your body or shortages. Whom having not seen you yet believing, you rejoice. Don't do this because everybody's... Do it because you believe it. Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, implies something of a weight. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's go there, John. Says this. Are we there yet? That's not it. 4:17. Okay. For our light affliction, say it five times fast. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal what? Weight of glory. I'm telling you something. When you praise God, you are initiating eternal power to replace what's temporary. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that which are not seen are eternal. The eternal weight of glory is something that we initiate giving glory. Remember it says Abraham waxed strong in faith giving glory to God. He put more weight on who God is and what God said than his own situations. I mean, here's a guy 100 years old. And he's going to have a son. And she's 90, and she's going to have a baby. You know, if you look at the world record for how old women or the oldest pregnant woman was, it's something like 65 or something like that. No, the world record is Sarah at 90. I beg to differ. Amen. Where am I? So they say, you must be drunk. Oh, I'm drinking, but not like you think I'm drinking. Aha, I'm on medication. This is my medication. I'm praising God. I am giving him glory. And you know what? That glory has weight. And it starts pulling things off of you. doesn't pull you down. It pulls those things down that are trying to surround you. The weight of glory. It's working for you. A more eternal, not the affliction, light affliction, which is but for a moment, that doesn't work for you. But when you give glory to God and praise to God, that works for you. Faith works for you. You can't tell me that God would, if you look at the curse of the law, look at the curse of the law sometime in Deuteronomy 28. And it says all these, in, I think it's verse 61 or 60, that says every other disease that is not listed here is also under the curse of the law. But yet, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everything that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Why would he send something upon you that he's already delivered you from? It doesn't make any sense. If he's delivered you from every sickness and every disease, then he has no legal right to send that on you. Now, this stuff comes from the fall. It comes from the nature of the devil and sin and things. He takes advantage of our ignorance. Hosea 4:6. What does it say? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. We need to know the word. We need to walk in the word. We need to meditate on the word and let our minds be renewed with the word, because when your mind is renewed, it transforms you, spirit, soul, and body. See, this is not just for physical healing. It's for the healing of the soul, so that you can come out of all of these raw relationships and people that have hurt you, and you can come out without a scar, without a raw feeling, without bitterness and that on edge. I remember people that I would feel my skin come about 3 inches off of my body every time I was around this one person. And, you know, it's like, there's no need for that. Their problem is their problem. What I do is walk with God. And you know what? If you renew your mind, you can come out and there won't be a scar in that relation, in your memory. God will wash your memory from that. We went into that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 once. But we don't have time to go there. That's another whole teaching. One, praise is ordained of God and it has many purposes. It's a weapon. It's also a strengthener. Psalm 8, verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that you might still the enemy and the avenger. The avenger is those who are plotting against you. Jesus quoted this scripture. Instead of his ordained strength, he said in Matthew 21:16, he said, have you never read out of the mouths of babes and suckling you have perfected praise? Praise is strength. Praise is strength. Amen. Praise is strength. Praise is strength. Praise is strength. It ordains supernatural strength. Praise stills the enemy, whether it's smallpox or whether it's a bent out of shape person. By the way, your enemy isn't a person. It's demonic forces that drive them. Psalm 103, verse 20. If you're facing a demonic situation, remember, all of the demons were once angels. Right? They were designed in such a way as the angels of heaven. They were angels. Now they're fallen angels. But they still have to do, their inner nature still has to do what God designed them to do. It says in Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20 says, bless ye his angels who excel in strength, hearkening unto the voice of his word. They may not want to hear his word because they're demons now, but they have to hearken to the voice of his word. And when you give voice to his word, guess who wants to leave? The demons. He cast them out with his word. With his word. Praise is ordained of God. Number two, hold to your faith. Don't throw in the towel. She was believing that she wouldn't get smallpox. She got it. What did she do? Quit? Did she throw in the towel? No, she said, Lord, what am I going to do about this? I was believing you. What's going on? Praise me for my faithfulness to my word. Oh, start there. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Yet believing. What does it say? Yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And watch the glory basket get full, and it will pull all that stuff off of you. And you're walking in glory. You don't care what other people are doing. You know? But when you get delivered from that, and when you get healed, and when you get into a place, you're in a position now where you can help them. Not to condemn them, just say, you know what? I had that problem once. Here's what the Lord showed me. And it'll probably work for you, but let me show you what it was in my case. It'll help you. Now you're in a position to do that. Pick them up. We don't say this to condemn anybody. We say this to pick them up. So number one is the praise is ordained of God. He ordained it. You can use it. Number two is hold to your faith. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. Keep praising God. Keep praising God. Even it's not, God isn't pleased when you get healed. What pleases him is when you're not healed and when you have no evidence to say that you ever will be healed and you keep praising him anyway. That's what pleases God. And that's what brings it to pass. That's the praise basket that's full of glory. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, David inquired of the Lord. She inquired of the Lord.
Amen.
Number three, praise always destroys the works and the plans and the plots of the enemy. Yeah. It destroys it. It brings God on the scene. Praise, 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 praise. Oh, praise God. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime. Jesus, Jesus, praise him when the sun goes down. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that the praises of God are in our heart and in our mouth. We thank you that your word will not return to you void. So we praise you with your word. We bring it back to you filled with our love and adoration, our worship and our faith. And we magnify your name and your good pleasure in our life. And we know that your word works because you have magnified your word above all of your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word, And we thank you, Father. Thank you for your presence here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything, let me just say this too. This just came to me now. So, P.S.